It has been a feast of these couple of days together. I really love the thank yous that Carl gave and would just add mine that I think the worship has been absolutely outstanding. I think what Carl said about Heather, I totally agree. I really believe, Heather, wherever you are, that God has plans for you and for your family, that he's going to shine through your marriage and your children. I don't know how many children you have, but that it's going to be a worshiping family in spirit and truth, and that God is preparing you. He's got you under pressure of some sort, and there is a proclamation and a multiplication of your gift. I watched Heather as we went along, and I thought, I think she's crying. That one that goes, he's working, he's always working, he's always working. And you see this worship leader singing from the bottom of her heart. People out there are inconsequential. And I also saw the worshipers behind on the bass and the guitar and the keyboards and just everyone so engaged. It has been a feast of worship. I think the preaching has been phenomenal. I've listened to some amazing messages on grace and prayer, and I'm not sure if I've heard anything like what I heard on those two sessions from Tom and from John. And I remember when we were just starting to join New Frontiers, a bit like you guys, and there was a moment that it became official. We used to write out longhand Terry's sermons and Dave D's sermons, and we didn't bother about Dave Holden's, but no, we wrote out Dave Holden's. No, we did. And we memorized them. We preached them as our own, and it sunk deep in. And if you're here in your teens and early 20s growing, I want to tell you, I felt, and I'm nearly 50, I thought, I want to get these messages. I want to write them out longhand. I want to imbibe them. They were really phenomenal sessions. Those quotes last night from John on prayer, you know, he drew on Martin Lloyd-Jones and Spurgeon and some of these books that he's read. It's a phenomenal gift to be able to drink from that. And Tom's ability to weave humor and then sobriety and just take you on that journey of what it would have been for Abraham. I mean, what a privilege. And there's a quality in what is here. As Tom said, there is good soil. This is incredibly, incredibly good soil. Just to say as well, Carl, that I feel that your fathering of this event has been outstanding. And your encouragement to faithfulness, your affirmation in the response of the people. I had an expectation for what Celebration Southeast would be like, and I started planning, I think, 7 months ago to be here. And it's gone beyond my expectation. All the quality that I see in Carl and Virginia, I see in the people here. I see a cross-confluence in the States, and I do believe, John, that this is a small thing, and we're going to talk about a bit more on small things, but this is going to go huge. It is the real deal, and we appreciate your fathering and, Virginia, your motherly input. Just to say also that the friendship and fun, the sense of joy together, loving being with one another. I asked if the prophetic words could be recorded for me last night because I just had an idea, a thought that they might come. It's a little bit presumptuous, but I was bowled over by the warmth, the genuine love for me personally. And part of what I was thinking in that moment was I just wish Claire, my wife, could have been here for that. And so we'll be replaying all those words and that sort of vibe that we had last night. But seeing balloons getting tossed and people just loving being together, I think is something very, very precious that you guys have. The sense of purpose, and we're going to talk about that more in a moment. The beauty of this place, the quality of your children. Your kids are just amazing. I was torn between being here and being out with the kids. We had a bunch of games that we had to play last night. I told them what we were going to do. Lighthouse with a torch. I don't know if you guys know that game, with a flashlight. But unfortunately, I just couldn't get away. So I'm sorry to children who's going to go home and say, he promised that he... And the teens, what an amazing time. I woke up yesterday just feeling I want to get with these teens. I came away from that saying, I want to be at these guys' weddings. I don't want to miss what God is doing in these lives. And as Tom said, if God gives you the gift to be single, live it with all your heart as well. And I feel a kind of vestedness in the generation that's coming up in the churches that you guys are part of. I must finish, but just to say that I've appreciated the breadth of leadership as well. John and Sarah and Jace and Ali and John and Linda and Bryce and Christine and Aaron and Jess and leaders upon leaders. I think it was great that Carl got everyone to stand up. But these are significant men and women in our lives. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And these are the type of people that are living it out. And I think you see the fruit of it everywhere here. And as we applauded Rachel, I wonder if one more time we could just thank you so much, Rach, for your tremendous, tremendous organization, the grace with which you do that. Well, I'd love us to continue in the Gospel of Matthew. And I believe God still has stuff for us this morning. And the title of my message from about 6 months ago, these two messages I felt God give me, celebrate the King and celebrate His kingdom coming. And celebrate His kingdom coming is this morning, but it changed when John preached last night to don't die in your rocking chair. And then it changed again this morning with Linda's word, and it became change your butts. And it's the action message. It's celebrate God's kingdom coming. This is real. And I've been so encouraged by the words. Steve came up. Steve, am I right? First name Steve? Surname? Muller. With his outstanding South African accent, and said, we are an army. When you're in a military situation, you're on the move. Even when you're sitting, you're moving. It's an attitude of heart. And this whole sense that God is calling us to be broken, calling us to lay down our lives in view of God's mercy to us, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Our spiritual act of worship is to offer our lives. And so maybe enlist for the army is the message today. And we've got a very practical application of it right at the end, and you're going to be allowed to have your cell phones on for that, which I think is the first time I've ever heard a preacher say, please turn on your cell phones and go to Facebook and Instagram. We're going to be doing that a little bit later. But Matthew chapter 6, and immediately after Jesus has taught them to pray, he continues, and we're going to kind of have a feast of scripture. We're going to look at the rest of Matthew 6, and then I'm going to have a look at Matthew 16, the profession of faith that Peter makes, and then the Great Commission, and then if we've got time, maybe a quick look at Pentecost. So these are big moments in the gospel and the beginning of the early church. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. When you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And over to Matthew 16, the disciples heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount, saw him do miracles, teach a whole bunch of other stuff. And then in Matthew 16, Jesus has this extraordinary conversation with Peter. Now, when Jesus came to the this is verse 16, 13. When Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. More teaching, more miracles, the arrest of the one who was without sin, the false trial, the travesty of justice, the greatest moment of injury in all history, the death of God, God the Son, the author of life, the burial of him, and then the resurrection. And then this is the end, Matthew 28, the end of Matthew's gospel, Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And over to Acts 1. After this commission, we get an insight into those moments surrounding it. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Actually, we'll go from verse 4, Acts 1, verse 4. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Father, thank you so much for this story of stories, that you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have called us and made us your own. You have called us born of God, children of God, adopted into your family, the bride of Christ. You have exchanged our dishonor for your honor. You've exchanged our shame for your name, your glory. You've shared all eternity with us. And you draw us into the real story, the reality of what life is truly about, the demonstration of your glory for a people made to shine the manifold wisdom of God for all eternity. Lord, help us to grasp something today of the breadth, the wonder, the marvel of who you are and what you are calling us to do with the precious moments of our lives that we live and breathe on planet Earth. That we wouldn't miss, but that we would run the race marked out for us. Father, I pray for an amazing blessing on this time, this final session of Celebration Southeast 2019. Pray that you would stir our hearts, send us out, even as you did these disciples on that day, that we would go out with our hearts burning in us, like fire in our bones, that we would not be the same. Pray, Father, for every little child under 10 in their classrooms, that they would not be the same. Every teenager in the sound of our voices in this room would not be the same, that not one of them would miss you. Every 20, every 30, every 40, 50, 60, even up to Tommy Stanley. Father, we pray that each one of us would hear you, go out from here, renewed in your call on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, sometimes I just read scripture like that and I don't want to stop. I just want to read on and on and on. But I thought we'd read these sort of high moments of the story through Matthew's gospel and then the beginning in Acts, because I feel like we're living it. We're in this time with Jesus, if you like, mountaintop type thing. And there's also this sending out an Acts type feel with what's happening here. And I just want to point out in Matthew 6, three things that we can celebrate, that we can be conscious of. This is how the kingdom comes. And I was chatting to a couple of people over breakfast and other moments saying, you know, it's great to celebrate the king, but how do we see the kingship of Jesus established in our lives? How do we see the kingship of Jesus established in other people's lives? People are eager to hear of the salvation of God and how he can benefit me. But as someone said earlier, when you just add that to the rest of the mess in your life, it's just something else that's there. Well, he saved me and I've also got these things going on. We miss, we don't subvert the real kingdom, the idols in our hearts. And Jesus calls for everything. He doesn't call for a negotiation. He doesn't expect us to understand everything. Quite the contrary. When we've got questions, he doesn't seem to see that that should be any problem at all. He thinks that his ways are higher than our ways, that he is God, he is the creator, we are the creation. And what we don't know, we can be comfortable with, because we know from God's word who he is, his character, his nature. What we don't understand now doesn't mean that we can't believe him. In fact, faith is believing without fully seeing now. And so they were saying, you know, how do we get this across? How does the kingdom come? And I just read the next verses of this and I was so challenged. The first point is prayer. Jesus says, when you fast, do it like this. And I don't know if I've been stirred this much to prayer ever in my life. Coming to this conference, I felt God calling me to more prayer. But I am hugely inspired that prayer is a sign of his power and strength and our weakness and insufficiency. And it's just such a discipline, such a joy, such a privilege. Step one in celebrating his kingdom coming is be a people of prayer. And there's just nothing more exciting. There's nothing more of a privilege. And to fast, to pray and fast. I remember once meeting Terry at a Brighton Leaders Conference. I didn't know if he knew me, but as he went past, I said, "Hi, Terry." And he said, "Oh, hi, Scott. I've really been praying for you." And the way he said it to me, I really felt like he has seriously been praying for me. I thought I must really clean up my act. This is getting scary. And the thing about Terry, I've watched him. I've watched his life. When he stayed in our home, we heard him praying in tongues every morning. And my children would come through and say, "What's happening, Dad? What's happening?" I'd say, "Well, kids, you know that he's just doing what I do every morning." I said, well, Dad, we hear other kinds of noises. We don't hear that." And it stuck with my kids forever. And one thing that I've noticed about Terry and the quality of what I see in New Frontiers and these spheres across the world is there is genuine prayer that has been poured in. I loved hearing John last night talking about when I'm on the mat, I say to God, "This was your idea." And I feel comfortable in that. And we don't know a fraction of his prayer life. What he says there is just a little glimpse in. But you realize that apart from prayer, the kingdom of God is not going to come. It is not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit. And we sometimes panic when we don't see enough happening on the outside. We say, "Oh, it's not working." We constantly evaluate quality of our spirituality by what's going on in the externality. And the discipline to get past that. Jesus prayed and prayed, and Caesar remained in power. God's purposes are far greater than the value of the denarii or the value of the talent or who's in power on that particular day. So much of the rubbish in Rome continued and got worse. And yet God's kingdom comes in the hearts of people, and we are sitting here today because of what happened in those days. So the first thing I'd love to inspire you as you go out from here that I feel God calling us to, me personally, is to be a people of prayer. And if that's what we get, I think we've got 90%. The second thing, Jesus goes on and says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, the whole body will be." In other passages, Jesus talks about, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your good deeds be seen, that men may praise your Father who is in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" It's these similar type of ideas. He says here, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if there's no light in you, How great must the darkness be? And this is Jesus provoking us beyond prayer to practical action. Every single decision, every single attitude of heart, the whole of our lives to be lived for His glory. When I was with the teens yesterday, I was talking to them about some amazing moments that I've had with my children recently who've evaluated my past relationships with girlfriends. And I've been so relieved that I had a relatively clear run, but there have been some awkward moments. And I was telling them about my advice on how long to kiss and where to kiss and at what point to stop kissing. And we just got really practical about all this stuff. And someone asked the question, Scott, how do you manage to keep all these things going? And I realize and apologize, I didn't do a very good introduction of where I was born and where and that I've been married for 25 years and that I've got two children and they're studying in America. I felt terrible after the first message. It was very un-African not to introduce myself. So I do apologize for that. But I have leadership responsibility in business, in local church, and in sphere. I have two or three businesses in two or three countries, tractor parts, ball bearings, chickens, crocodiles, bolts and nuts. And then my local church is called River of Life. We're one church, two congregations, five meetings on a Sunday, fantastic little leadership team. And I have a leadership responsibility in the sphere, Disciple Nations, which oversees 40 or 50 churches in a few nations that we prayed for last night. And he was saying, how do you manage to balance all these things? Because you've also got marriage, you've also got family, and you know, how do you keep such a trim six-pack? And so I said, well, thank you. Thank you for the question, young man. and I did more press-ups this morning. But I just said to him, there is something that has been a touchstone or a directional thing in my life, and that has been the kingdom of God. I feel like I only have one purpose, and that is to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus in my life. That's it. I just want to live for the planting and strengthening of churches and the extending of His kingdom in all the earth for His glory. And for me, that has meant it's been good to marry. It's been good to have kids. It's been good to be in business. It's been good to have a leadership role in church. And God has given me certain gifts that the way that looks like is I've married Claire, and she's a great person, and she's praying for us today. And some people think she's a phantom and may not exist because I've been here so many times and she hasn't been with me. But I hope the next time, whenever that is, to be with her. And my kids. And I remember when we were praying about kids, we honestly prayed, Father, is this your will? It's like we didn't just have kids because most people who get married try to have kids. We sought God. Is this what you want? And I remember wanting more than two kids, but feeling God saying to me, two is right for you. And Claire was delighted. But honestly, we made decisions about the number of kids based on God. What are you calling us for the kingdom? When I resolve conflict with my wife, because she does lots of wrong things. She hardly does anything wrong. It's me. But when I'm resolving, I'm back at the gospel. I'm back at the kingdom of God. Word of God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church, laying His life down for them. And so the way that I'm living in my marriage, the way that I'm parenting, isn't just like another thing that I'm doing. It's God, all of this is for your glory. Our marriage is a type of Christ in the church. Our children are an expression. And for me, the gift mix has been that I have this desire in my heart to generate income in business as an example in the marketplace of the kingdom of God coming, and as a mechanism by which I don't have to draw a salary from the church. But that's just something God said to me. And so I really want to encourage all of us that I think this is the whole of our lives. As we drive our cars, as we fill in our tax return, as we make every decision of our lives, there's this unity of purpose. May our light so shine before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father who is in heaven. I always love the fact that the Jews have a prayer of praise and worship for a successful bowel movement. True story. And I've often prayed the prayer, not in Hebrew, but I, you know, that moment. You're just like, God, you're amazing. You've just made everything perfect. And we live, this side of heaven is just a problem, and the breaking in of the kingdom of darkness through our sin, war, the light and darkness, and so at times health problems and relational problems. But through it all, saying, Father, demonstrate your glory, demonstrate your kingdom through me. I call it practical action, just the basic life decisions every moment we face. And then Jesus nails it here and talks about the priorities of our heart. What truly is at the core of our motivation? And he really challenges us on money. Do not be anxious about your lives, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. And many times when we sense God calling us to something, sense God leading, there's sacrifice involved, the challenge becomes, well, how will this impact the rest of my life? What does this do for my bank account? What does this do for my wardrobe? What does this do for my reputation, etc.? And he says here, it's just so reassuring. Do not be anxious, verse 31, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. There's no denying that we need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I feel the kindness of God to us in this. He sandwiches, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Between these two things, he knows we need the things, and he promises to give them. I mean, he could not make it easier to seek first the kingdom of God. It's like, I am God. I hold the whole universe together. I know you need this thing. I'm not denying. I'm not saying you're a bad Christian for wanting your basic needs. And he promises, if you seek me, I will supply. Everything will be added. What is his phrase? All these things will be added to you. And so it does come down to a question of what is our absolute priority? What is the priority of our hearts? And Virginia today standing up here with tears saying, God is provoking me to proclaim his name. I'm 60 something, I think she said. 16. 60. 60. Just in case there was any question about that. Only just 60. And through tears, she's talking about grandchildren. And there's just so much to sacrifice as we go along. But God here promises, seek first my kingdom, I will add to you. You know, one of the things about living in Zimbabwe is that we've battled to find schooling for our kids. And my son went to boarding school in South Africa when he was 13. And it was a crazy thing, but my wife traveled down every 3 or 4 weeks and saw him, and he would come up after 6 or 7 weeks. And so we saw him like 3 times a term and then in the holidays. But I tell you, I love that guy so much. We are so close. I'm seeing him make decisions in his life that fill my heart with joy. And I feel like God has, he's no man's debtor. In 1997, 98, 99, those 3 years, I would make a target every year of how much money I wanted to make. There was 1 year that I made more than $1 million in trading operations. And I've known losing more than $1 million in a single year. I've known what it is to get to a point where I didn't have enough to pay for food and to pay for gas in my car at the same time. I've been at that place. And Claire, my wife, often in tears and discussions, is just saying, what are we doing? What is happening? We've been part of an imploding economic situation for 25 years. And yet we step back from it and we say, God has supplied every single need we have ever had. In the years that I was making $1 million a month, we would $1 million a year, we would go on four holidays a year, 10-day holidays. The kids loved it. We went to Disneyland. We sailed on ships. We did skiing. We went on safari. We had the kids have incredible memories, family memories. And now, we have them home for 6 weeks. It's only 6 weeks that they home at the same time because they're at university here in the States. And we wanted to go away for 10 days to a national park. And Claire's like, we just cannot do it. And I proved to her that if I make this money and if I steal this, we're going to be okay. No, I'm joking. There was a way that it could really work. She's like, okay, we can do it. And I'm going back after the Malawi trip on Thursday. We're going to have 10 days in the bush. We call it the bush. And I'm trusting God we're going to see lion. The last time I was there, we saw three lions inside a giraffe. And we're eating the giraffe from the inside. And we just sat there. And we were out of the car. We were like from here to there. Because when they're eating, they're not worried about anything else. And this holiday is going to cost us, I don't know, it'll be like, I think like $740 or something. And I just know God has plans for us. He's lined it up. My kids are doing the food. It's like Claire doesn't have to worry about food anymore. There's a richness. I want to testify to you. He is a God who delivers on these promises. And I'm still hoping to make $1 million a year going forward. If you can please keep praying for that chief financial officer. And, I mean, really, it could go. It can just go, boom. That business merger, I invested $550,000 in cash into X for Africa at the beginning on a plan to make it back in 3 years. 10 years down the line, I've invested a further $150,000. So I'm $650,000 down at the moment. And I got to this make or break moment. And I spoke to the people that I wanted to merge the business with. And I said, my purpose for being in Mozambique is for the advance of his kingdom, that the church can be established here and shine his light and his glory. This business, I do not need a single cent. It can come into this merger valued at zero. Only that the staff remain, that the vision remains, that we together can build a bigger business. I'm just not interested in the money. I tell you this not for any kudos, but to say this is how it can happen. These guys looked at me and said, Scott, we definitely want to value X for Africa. There's 6-7 houses with 50,000 chickens laying and a sales network and land and boreholes. What do you call wells? 5 wells and there's water coming out everywhere. And they've said, we value it at $1 million. But we're going to pay you that million over the next 4 to 5 years from the profits of our merged company. So I said, fantastic. Whether it's zero, it's a million, I don't mind. Let's go. Let's just get on with this thing. And I guess I'm telling you these stories from the other side, from the dark side. It's like where there's nothing, people will testify over and over again that he has provided. I loved what Carl said this morning. You have given with generosity, and God will bless that. And it's absolutely true. And the way that that blessing comes is different. Sometimes he saves you like this. Sometimes he saves you like that. Sometimes people were rescued from the mouths of lions. Sometimes they were eaten by the lions. Both were rescued by God. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He said, our God will deliver us from this fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your idol. They had a faith that goes through death to resurrect. He will save us from this fire, but even if he doesn't, in physical terms now, we won't bow down because he will save us and your idols will never save us. I want to encourage you guys. The soil is so fertile. Your generosity, the priority of your heart, nurture that, protect it. Keep praying about finance. Keep praying about God, how can we mobilize together? I want to finish today with a very practical activation. And the video that Kevin and his team put together on Mozambique and the way that the school is able to catalyze kingdom advance, I think the quality of is just outstanding. I wonder if we could give him and his team a round of applause. Absolutely superb. And I want to be clear about this, that we could not be building the high school without this partnership. And those who've come to Mozambique will know that, but I just want to be really clear that if it was not for you, I would not be the chairman of the school. I would not have the boldness to get the architectural team to do all the drawings, to get the quantity surveyors to write up the bill of quantities, to get the contractors giving their services at cost, to get the headmaster appointed and looking for teachers. I just would not have the confidence. And Carl phoned me 4 years ago and said, Scott, we have a long-standing relationship. New Frontiers has now gone into different spheres. Can we please partner? And at that time, Carl was a person that I loved and respected very much, but he lived a very long, long way away. And at the time, as John said, when it diversified, there was quite a lot of, like, we didn't know how this was going to work. And Carl was one of many friends, because New Frontiers is full of incredible relationships. I said, Carl, I'd love to do more with you as well. Let's see if an opportunity comes. Goodbye. Ka-tunk. And then Carl phoned back. He's like, Scott, I really feel like we've got a partner. I know, Carl. I mean, it would be amazing. It'd be incredible. You live a very long way away. And, you know, it's difficult for the whole church to get the vision. But that's fine. Okay, Carl. Well, if you see any opportunity, bye. Ka-ching. Phones back. Right? So after a while, I thought, this guy, you know, like maybe he's willing to be in the mess. Maybe he's actually willing for the pain. So I was like, okay, Carl, it's really hard. It's tough. And in Zimbabwe, we have a couple of great friendships. We're linked with Steve Tibbett and King's Church Catford, and they're putting money into Ebenezer College, and we're linked with Dave Holden, and he comes out and he looks after Claire and me, and we're linked with this. But in Mozambique, we don't have anyone. And it's like over the edge. Carl, if you could help in Mozambique, it would really help. She's like, yeah. And I said, he said, would I be able to bring a team? Maybe 4 or 5 people to check it out. So I said, yes. But these were my words to him. we are so stretched, we just don't have time to do like Christian tours. We call them tours. How do you say tour in America? Tour, yeah. Christian tours. We don't have time. We just can't go. You know, if you're up for money and people and getting on the front line and forceful, violent advance of the kingdom of God in the army, in the mess, taking advantage of these massive opportunities that are there, then if you're coming with that heart, I'm happy to explore. And the kind of money I'm thinking is like 20, 30, 40,000 a year. And the kind of people, I'm like, whatever skills and things are there. But hey, as long as you're coming with that attitude, let's see what happens. Carl arrived. And he and Virginia connected with the vision of what we were doing there. And saw that if the school could thrive, it means believing families could come into this context that didn't have to be as hardcore as my wife, who homeschooled our kids under a tent, under a tree, in a tent, and lived without a home for 2 years. I mean, you get a few good girls like that. And my kids will recall those days as the best days of their lives. My son used to catch snakes every day and bring them with a head on one side and the tail on the other. Like, this one's green, this one's blue, this one's orange. Well done, Stephen. Go and get another one. And I mean, they just, so it was hard, but it's also God, he's no man's debtor. In the middle of that, I remember the story of the ants that I told at Brighton once. It was just, I've never, ever seen anything like it. It must have been a billion ants came through our camp. Every single thing that had any protein or anything that of carbon was just devoured. And our kids had ants everywhere. I had ants everywhere. We were on the tables. They were coming up the tables. And then they passed through. They carried on. This is like this army of ants. Stephen's snake, the next morning, was a skeleton. They just ripped the flesh off this thing. Just powered their way through. And they just carried on. We never saw them again. Carl connected with this vision that if we had a school that people could come and be here with us, it could attract talent, could raise leaders, influence the nation, and be a kingdom advancing catalyst for the planting and strengthening of church. When he got it, I mean, he just affirmed me and affirmed me. And I felt a little bit like, Carl, you know, I promise I am still New Frontiers. I do love the church, but could you please partner in establishing the school? Like, it didn't sound so politically correct. Like, if it's planting a church, like, okay, yeah, that's what we do. Like, no, this is the catalyst for kingdom advance and church planting, which will come out of it. His affirmation of us personally was incredibly significant. It was the first time that we had someone from New Frontiers into the Mozambican context. And then the whole team got it. And they said, we think this is fantastic. We want to be part of it. The next team that came built on the previous one. And the next team said, we want to take over the whole school for 2 or 3 days, send the teachers off for a retreat, and we want to connect. That led me to say, we can build the best school in Mozambique. Yeah. We can do it in 2 or 3 years. We can raise $1 million. And the idea that we have is to use this conference as a platform for engaging wider community. So the whatever offering comes towards Mozambique, part of it we're going to use in a campaign called Love Moz and generate income. The faster we can build this high school, the faster we can get on to the next things. I'm telling you guys, I can bring you so many opportunities for partnering here. The harvest is ripe. Did you say that? Someone said, the harvest is ripe. The workers are few. There is so much work to be done. And I loved what Aaron reminded us of, except that he went, right. which I think was very mean. But I do remember the conversation. It did go exactly like that. Because I felt he asked such an important question. I said, this is our thing. This isn't you coming in and looking at what we're doing. We are doing this together. And so I wanted to get this across to you really clearly today, that you are part of a genuine advance of God's kingdom in a nation that is wide open. It's wide open because of the corruption, because of the collapse. But the enemy overplays his hand over and over again. And what he desires for harm, God turns around for the saving of many lives. And this friendship has gone into a partnership across spheres. We're modeling stuff to the church as a whole. I was so inspired hearing John say, you could start to compare. I shrink back from this, but he said you could start to compare what's happening in New Frontiers to what happened with the Moravians. I'm going to pray into that. I desire churches to be multiplied and planted in their hundreds and thousands across the earth. I can feel it coming. I'm in my late 40s, early 50s. I'm seeing the 30s coming behind. They're getting it. The things that we love sitting here, and I've loved talking to the other churches that are looking in. I mean, what amazing people. This thing is going to grow. Across the earth, this can go. And we are touching the jugular of what can impact the northern part of Mozambique. And after this, there will be more to do. And more to do. I think we will be raising 50,000, 100,000, 150,000, leveraging through our relationships and connections into others. Let's go for it. Let it be the priority of our hearts, His kingdom and His righteousness. Father, thank you so much that you fill us, and from this relationship with you, send us. That you've modeled this in and of yourself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, perfect relationship, and from that, purpose, redemptive purpose, transforming purpose into all the earth. Have your way amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, before we worship, I would like to ask Kevin to quickly pop up, and could you get your phones out? And this is really the enlisting of an army. If Kevin could just explain to us how we could mobilize with greater effectiveness for the next steps in the building of the school. And then I think Craig will have some pointers. Can you give us some direction?
Yeah, hi everyone. So as just to reiterate what we've said, we want to launch a campaign called Love Moz. The campaign doesn't start yet because we're building some kindling right here, so that when we launch it in 6 to 8 weeks, it can go off with some fireworks. So our hope is that everyone will be excited about this and want to be a part of what God is going to be doing. We're going to do some sign up. Before we do that, I'm going to hand it over to Craig, who's going to practically talk about what that's going to what to expect, maybe a little bit between now and this 6 to 8 week period, but what's going to happen after that and why it's going to be exciting. And then I'll
figure it out. Yeah, cool. So I had the privilege to be on the last trip down to Mozambique, and one of the things that Kevin and I, we roomed together, so we spent a lot of time talking about what we saw, and being at Jubilee and Woodstock, and we've heard the stories of the trips that have gone down to Mozambique, but there's nothing like being there, and what we talked about over and over, there are so many stories to be told. From the people that you meet, from the businesses that are there, from the churches that are meeting. And we have, between Kevin and I, and there will be others, some gifts and some skills to be able to capture those stories and get them to you, and so that you can get them to others. And so what you're signing up for, you're going to see a form, and that's basically an email list. And our hope there is to build content, capture these stories of what's happening in Mozambique, show you the faces of these people, the stories of these people, and the businesses and what they're up to, so that you can pray, so that you can know and feel what we got to experience on the ground there. You'll also see some social media profile links. We want you to go there and follow today as well as signing up. And you guys will be the launch party. When this thing does, we hit go, we're going to be making some asks of you. You know people, at least, you know, on average, people have around 300 friends on Facebook alone. So think about the multiplying effect of taking what we have seen and you will see through these stories to all the people that you know. And so that's going to be one practical way that we're going to enable you to pray, have stories to tell, have things to share to take this Love Moss out to the nation. And our hopes would be that it wakens people to join in what we're doing, but also to waken churches that are not in this room, that maybe believe that there's something they could do and should do for the nations, but maybe they're not, and that this is going and happening, and this would be a great thing to just step into and support. And so today, it's simple. It's just sign up on that form that you see up there. Follow the social profiles. We hope you do that today, right now. And then there will be more to come, and we hope that it's an encouraging thing. And it makes you feel all throughout the future of however long this goes, connected with what's happening there. And you can join with all of us as we multiply what's going on.
So what we'd like you to do is get your phones out right now. And I would just encourage you not to be distracted. If there's text messages and emails and posts, don't look at those right now. We don't want to be distracted. We've got more to get on with. But we would like you to go to lovemoz.com. And you're going to see something looking like this. And we're going to do a few things. The first thing is, all we need is name, email, phone, and church for now. And then you're going to hit submit. And then it's going to take you back to this screen. And if you've already done that and you have an Instagram account, we want you to click on that Instagram and follow Love Moz, and you'll see a post already up there. And then there's Facebook and Twitter. We want you to click on all three of those so that you can be connected. And the graphics that you're going to see, there may be a few posts between now and launch time. We really encourage you to get aggressive about liking, sharing, reposting, commenting on that, tagging people who may be interested, because that's how that conversation is going to go outside of ourselves. So a few likes here and there aren't that helpful. Although that looks good, it's the commenting and including others. It's the keeping the conversation going that's really going to make this thing expand well beyond ourselves and cast that vision beyond ourselves. Oh, it's not working. Okay. Too many at once, and everyone's going lovemoz.com.
So guys, please don't be distracted by the worship. Just keep focused on your phones. just make sure you get the names in there. No, we can do it, I think, over time. I think we've got the message. Guys, thank you so much. Can you give them another round of applause? The numbers that Craig just mentioned there are crazy. Like 300 of us having 300 friends each is 90,000 people. And if 90,000 people share with their friends at an average of 300, that's 27 million. So the numbers ramp up fast. And what I'd love to do is kind of feel like we are an army when this moment of launch campaign happens in 6 to 8 weeks' time, that we're all in it together and we hit it. We're going to finish by worshiping, and I just want to read out the words of the song that I asked the band to sing. It's one of my favorites. It's a Jack Hayford, I think it's like a hymn, I don't know. But it's called Majesty. Would you like to stand? I'll just read these words out and then hand over to you guys. It says, Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flows from His throne, unto His own, His anthem raise. It's one of the clearest hymns of the glory is God's. He pours it through His church to the world. Kingdom, authority, flows from His throne, unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify. Worship his majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Father, thank you for your stirring in our hearts. We go from this place knowing these truths and being equipped in your spirit for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.